Let's take a Bible, it's turned from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 13, and I'll be reading verse 22-30. Now, remember, Scott, you can record it. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 22. He went through one town and village after another, teaching and making his way to Jerusalem. Lord, someone asked him, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Once the homeowner gets up and shuts the door, then he will stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up for us. He will answer you, I don't know you or where you're from. Then he will say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I don't know you or where you're from. Get away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that place. When you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves thrown out, they will come from east and west, from north and south, to share the banquet in the kingdom of God. Note this, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses of chapter 13, and I titled the message, Who Makes the Rules? A lot of times we try to make the rules and change the rules of how life goes and how we can be pleasing to God, how we can get to heaven. In verse 10, Jesus, it says, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now, this is a common practice. On the Sabbath day, he would teach in the synagogues. And so far, there's no problem. And they don't mind his teaching. Matter of fact, one of the first recorded incidents of Jesus after the temptation by Satan in the wilderness was going into the synagogue and teach. And they said, oh, where did he get these eloquent words? They were amazed at his teaching. But as he's teaching on the Sabbath, a woman that had been held in a disability by Satan for 18 years was there. And Jesus called out to the woman with the disability, said, you're healed. And the synagogue leader became indignant. He became indignant, and he told the people in the synagogue, you can come any of the other 6 days a week to be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath day to be healed. I think back to a time, and many of us here will remember the Yellow Pages. What was the purpose of the Yellow Pages? The Yellow Pages were there to help us find a phone number and information about a business that we were interested investigating or calling, or that we needed help with. Something, if you need a plumber, you go to the section of the Yellow Pages for the plumber. That was the purpose of the Yellow Pages. They're not here anymore. Because you can just Google it. And you find somebody. But imagine the person that invented the Yellow Pages for the purpose of helping people find things become indignant because of Google. They're not looking at my Yellow Pages. They're achieving the purpose that you were there for. The purpose you said the Yellow Pages were there for works to help people find information. Can't you find it even easier for Googling? Now, you don't necessarily see as much information. Sometimes you get too much information. Sometimes you get a whole bunch of ads with it. But Yellow Pages had ads too. But the synagogue ruler, he had his way that he thought people could be right with God. And here's a woman that has been bound with an infirmity for 18 years. And Jesus is not doing things the way he thinks it should be done. So he is mad. Think about this. And I use the illustration, please. Imagine somebody came up to you and said, why? Gravity no longer has power over you. And you start floating around, flying around like Superman. Somebody gets mad. How dare he give you the ability to fly without my permission? Totally ignoring the fact that you're now flying around. Something that's not possible with human ability. The same was true of the synagogue. That Jesus had done something that's not humanly possible. The woman had been crippled over, suddenly was freed from her infirmity. In the eyes of the synagogue leader, he didn't do it my way. So he tried to lecture the crowd that Jesus was doing it wrong. Even in face of the parable he just saw. And then Jesus responds, says, which of you on the Sabbath day will untie his animal and lead it from the feeding trough to the watering trough? You do that on the Sabbath day for an animal. How much more should this woman, a child of Abraham, be untied from the burden that she's been bound to for 18 years? And it said Jesus' adversaries were humiliated, but the crowds gave glory to God. Why did Jesus have adversaries? Because Jesus was not doing things the way they thought it should be done. They wanted things done their way and for them to get the credit. And then Jesus goes on and talks about the kingdom of God. He gives two parables. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And a mustard seed is a real, real small seed. And you plant it in the garden, and it can go 12 to 15 feet tall in one season. Talking about the growth of the kingdom of God. Start small and get you new. So the kingdom of God is like leaven. You take a big 50-pound bag of flour, and you put some leaven in it, some yeast in it. It spreads throughout all 50 pounds of flour. Talking about how the kingdom of God is spread everywhere it touches. So Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God, and now he's heading to Jerusalem, going town by town, village by village, on his way to Jerusalem, and he's telling his message. I remember 40 years ago, leaving Idaho, towing a pickup truck, in a U-Haul truck, I think it was U-Haul. It might have been something you don't want to drink. You can remember some of the details better than I do. We had just got married, and we were going from Idaho to Virginia. Now, a lot of friends had decorated Lana's truck. And we sold my car and kept her truck. A neat little Chevy Love pickup, 4x4, a neat little vehicle. mine was a Chevy Chevelle. I think it was a Mark now, it was in condition, was, but either one of them is last, but not. On the back of that Chevy Love was a sign, just married. And we were traveling from Idaho to Virginia. Got the honks, the waves, as people passed by us, waving to us. We were spreading the message. We were just married. All the way from Idaho to Virginia. Well, Jesus is spreading the message about the kingdom of God. All the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. And someone comments that not a lot of people are accepting the message. The person asked Jesus, are only a few people going to be saved? The crowds were accepting Jesus' healings, but they weren't accepting his message. I don't know if you've ever been in a hedge maze. I said, I haven't been in one, but I've seen them on some of these old castles and mansions over in Europe. They have mazes, hedges cut in, where if you're up high, you can see the maze, but down the top of the hedge is above your head. And if you don't know the way out, you can get lost. And there's benches in there and fountains, all kinds of neat things to see. But you can get lost in that maze. Imagine you're lost in the maze, and someone's coming through saying, I can lead you out of this maze. Just follow me. And as he's walking through the maze, he's trying to tell people when you lead him out, they're just sitting on the bench and saying, I like the view of this hedge right here. I like the fountain over there. I'll just stay here. I can't get out, but I'm not going to follow you. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about how to get out of the burden of sin, how to be free from that, how to be pleasing to God, how to be right with God. People will accept his miracles, but won't accept his teaching. That's what's happening. That's why that person asked Jesus, are only a few going to be saved? Are only a few people going to be in the kingdom of God? We don't have clouds following. They're listening. They're coming when you come to town to be healed, but they're staying in town. Then Jesus said, make every effort to enter through a narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Now, if you noticed, when you came to him, you had to come in one at a time, because the doors were narrower coming into the auditorium. It's not that the door is broken. It's just to remind you. Now, the sermon illustration. You can only come in one at a time. Now, it's okay to open the door on your way out. Now, it's not broken. That's just a sermon illustration. Now, enter through the narrow door. And in Matthew 7, Jesus uses this illustration also in Matthew 7:13. And he adds to it a little bit. Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. But narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Now the thing that we don't think about when we hear this, the road that's broad that leads to destruction doesn't say this is the road to destruction. It says this is the easy way to heaven. And the narrow road, this is the hard way to heaven. And people want to take the easy road. But it's mislabeled. It's not a road to heaven. It's a broad road leads to hell. But a lot of people try to lead people down that broad road to hell. There are many preachers today that are preaching about Benjamin Franklin's teaching. God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not from the Bible. That's from poor Richard Smallman, writing of Benjamin Franklin. Not that Benjamin Franklin said that's how you get heaven. But there are people teaching about God wants you wealthy. That's not the scripture. God wants you healthy. That's not the scripture. God wants you wise. That's not the scripture. Wisdom, health, and wealth all come from God, but He gives to each of us as He wills. But not many people are wise. You see in the First Corinthians, wise by human standards, but wisdom comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of history. God wants you wise, faithful. Not the right. And then Jesus says, the owner at one point will get up and shut the door. And then there will be people on the outside that want to come in. But still in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Now notice what it says. It doesn't say you've lost your salvation. You were never saved in the first place. I never knew you. They were just going for emotions. They were hypocrites. Remember, hypocrite is the Greek word for mask wearer. An actor who wears a mask and plays another part. Back to our passage in Luke 13. I want to remind you about the flood. God called Noah to build an ark. And he had in the instructions, make a great big door in the side of the ark. And then God had animals come to Noah. Now Noah didn't have to go on safaris to catch all the animals. God had them come to Noah. Noah's job was to build the ark. And if you want to go up, see, somewhere around there, there's a life-size rent for the ark. And you notice a great big door on the side of it. One thing you might not remember from Genesis 7:16, God shut the door of Noah. It wasn't Noah shut the door. When Noah and his family and all the animals that come to the ark, and anybody else could have come in until God shut the door. There comes a time when God shuts the door on an opportunity of salvation. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 28, it talks about the wrath of God coming on the wickedness of man who suppressed the truth by their wickedness. And in verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28, it uses the phrase, and God gave them over. And God gave them over. And God gave them over. God shutting the door. He's drawing all men to himself. There comes a time when the door is shut for an individual salvation. When do we know when God shuts the door? We don't. That's up to God. God can open a door that's shut. But people that refuse to repent, the door is shut. In the days of Noah, Noah's head. There's a flood's coming. There's room on the ark. But once God shut the door, no more will come. Once God stops drawing you towards salvation, Let's move on forward. And God desires that no one can be the all of them. We cannot determine what God has said enough to that person. But we will be praying and showing that God's warning comes upon that force. And we need to be understanding that if God is drawing us, it's not an unlimited drawing. I remember growing up, and we used to have an invitation, and people would think, if I can get through one more verse of sin, and the preacher closed it, I don't have to get right with God for another week. I made it. God is open to be far off for this 7 years. You can get right with God anytime. God doesn't want us to make an emotional response. Emotions follow, but we need to make a little less for this heart. I am praying my life for you, Jesus. I am repenting of missing. What happens when God shuts the door? People argue to God. Have you ever met someone that's a sophomore in college? They have something called sophomore eyes. They know everything, and you know nothing. They will argue with you about everything. The sky's blue. No, it's not. The water's wet. No, it's not. Because they have focused power. They know everything. Of course, within the next 5 years, it's amazing how much the parents learn in the eyes of the child. Don't you get so smart? Do that before. But here we have people with sophomore eyes. They think they know everything. They're arguing with God on judgment day. God says, you're not saved. Yes, I am. Don't you remember what I did? You're not saved. I don't know you. Where are you coming from? They argue with you. God says there will be a place for we people and national people. Now, let me explain a little bit of national people. That's anger. Workers might grit their teeth when they get up and they're mad. They're mad at God for sending them to a place they don't deserve. I don't deserve this. I happened to catch on the news today. The women's basketball all-stars. And they were when they kept showing everybody where the players were in the street, pay me what I deserve. You're playing a ball game. You're an entertainer. You don't deserve anything more than the entertainment value you provide. You're not curing cancer. The same thing's true with the Men's Basketball Association. They don't deserve that. They're entertainers. But the people, God says, depart from me. I don't deserve hell. We're all sinners. But the world that comes with grace of God. Too many people have the attitude, I deserve something better than what God is doing. And then Jesus said, it will be angry. When you see Abraham, Isaac, the prophets, and you're thrown outside. But wait a minute. I got you as heritage. Doesn't that give me an automatic in to heaven? No. But there are going to be people coming from the north and the south, the east and the west, and they're going to come in. The first, the last, Israel, they were the first to receive the message of God. And we're seeing that at the end, during the revelation, during the tribulation time, mentioned in Revelation, Israel, the hardening of their heart, will be eased. God will give them the heart of the flesh. They will recognize Jesus as our Messiah. They had the message first, but they're going to come to salvation last. Those that heard the message last, the Gentiles, were the first to receive it and open their hearts. The Messiah, the Israel, they can hear from now on the battle, then the Jewish people. They thought they were special. It's like people on any sports team. There's always someone that thinks they're special because they're on that sports team. They're just blessed that they have an opportunity. I remember the movie The Rookie, and the character in it is coming in cheering. He's in the minor leagues, and guess what we're going to do today? We get to play baseball. I'm blessed. I get to play baseball today, and I'm getting paid for it. It's not important. I'm worried that I'm not in the major leagues where I think I should be. No. I'm getting paid for baseball. I'm blessed. Israel, the time of Jesus, I'm part of God's chosen people. I have an automatic end. Jesus is coming. You've got to come the same way as everyone else. Building the terror. And Jesus is that hope. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to help except through Jesus. There is only one way. One way to heaven. And that's some people might be saying, well, I'll repent later when I get around to it. Okay, goodness. A little round to it. You can get around to getting right with God. There's a round to it. You just share the truth with us. And you all know from the back door and the door out. It's okay. We don't need to serve administrations to one way. We don't come as a family to Jesus. We come one by one. We come as a family, but as single body. Not at one group. The Father, the Mother, the wife, the husband, the husband, the earn your salvation. You did it. You stand in the progress. Lord, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for not compromising some of the truth. Sharing with us how we can get to heaven through the narrow door, and you are that. God's good.